Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Inspirational Wednesday. I'm your host, Diane Adams. And as always, it's a privilege and an honor that God has allowed me to come before you week after week with the Word of God. I pray that everyone had a great week. And I know that God is still in the blessing business. Out in the Old Testament, and we see how God dwelt and dealt with his people. God told us in his word, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I pray when you read the word of God in the Old Testament and you see how God operates, you got to know that that's what he will do in your life. God said he'll never leave us, nor he'll never forsake us. And if the title of the lesson tonight is, if God could be for us, who could be against us? Tonight our lesson is coming from the book of Esther. And we will study the 7th chapter. I ask that you read the 6th and 7th chapter and so that you could have some background on it. And the title of our lesson, as I just said, if God be for us, who could be against us? And I want you to join in tonight. Open up your heart, your mind, your soul, your ears, that you can hear what the Spirit has to say. Ask yourself before the lesson go forward, what is God saying to you? And what is God saying for you? And you could even ask yourself after hearing this and understanding what happened and how God worked in the lives of his people. And you could believe even more that's how he will work and through you. So before we get started, I'm going to play a song. And after we do that, we're going to go to the throne of grace for prayer. So if anybody would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone like you always do, and you could lead into prayer. But at this time, I'm going to play a record, and it's a very familiar record. And I think I chose the record because we've been talking about kings and the king in the story tonight. You know, is a king, and we could see what he did and didn't do and how he did and watch how God used him. So the name of the song is Take Me to the King. I'm going to play this song. When we're going to come back, we're going to go to the throne of grace in prayer. So I want you to be prayerful and listen to the message in the song.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't pray. What's left to do?
Come on.
Truth is I'm no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my
King. For those of you who have studied your lesson for tonight, you know, when I was thinking about that song, I was thinking about Esther. And, you know, at some point, Esther made a decision to just take me to the king, but she was talking about the earthly king, but she was going before the earthly pagan king with the true king on her side. We're going to get in a lesson tonight, and I thank God for each and every one of you that took time out of your busy schedule, and I'm glad that you all are tuned in tonight. I pray that the Holy Ghost has his way and that the Word of God won't return void. And it's time to go through to the throne of grace, and if anyone wanted to pray, I ask that you press the one button. And since none of the buttons has been pressed, I do have my grandson Madison with me and someone else pressed too. So what we're going to do is we're going to go into prayer. Well, that was Madison pressed. I thought it was someone else because Madison is out of school for the spring break. So it's a pleasure that he's with me and he's on the line and he has pressed the button to go to the throne of grace in all of our behalf and asking God to be with us in this lesson on tonight. So, Madison, you're on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
You want to say anything to the people tonight?
I hope that you enjoy the lesson.
And you're ready to pray?
Yes, ma'am.
You can begin.
God, thank you for this beautiful day that people are able to tune in, and that for all the new viewers here, they know that you're watching them, trying to learn more about you, God. And please allow them to keep tuning in so that we feel encouraged to keep saying more things about you, God. And God, for the people who tune in today, please let them know that you're watching over them, because sometimes they don't and they do things that they don't want to do, God. And thank you for allowing my grandma and I to tune in too and to do our job and pray and also talk about you to other people, God, because you want us to spread your word, God. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison. Many of you know that's Madison, my grandson, 12 years old. And I ask that you all continue to pray for him, because you know it's a struggle in the world we live in for young black men. And we have to keep them prayed up. So that's our prayers going forth. The song has been sung. And now it's time to be fed with the word of God. Our lesson, as we said, I said earlier, is coming from the book of Esther, the 7th chapter. And the title of the lesson is, If God Be For You, Who Can Be Against You? See, we take words and scriptures like that, and we say them so much, and we say them sometimes casually and haphazardly. But when you really get that in your spirit, and you really, really believe that if God is for you, who could be against you? It makes you stretch your imagination, and then you begin to say things like, what God has for you is for you. Then it brings you to another place where it says God will never leave you or never forsake you. Hallelujah. Then it could take and bring you to if you trust God, he will see you through. You see, that's how you build up on the word and build up on the word. But you got to have word in you to build up. And at some point, you got to believe for yourself that it's real. God has created the Bible with 66 books to give us examples of his love for us, what he will do for us, for his promise for us. He showed us what he's been doing, what he's doing now, and what he promised to do. You know, the word of God tells us we have the victory, but if you're walking around like you lost, or you know, done lost the battle, and even the Bible tells us the battle's not ours, it belongs to the Lord. You know, you're going to either get with the program or the program is going to get you. Everything that God does for us in our lives over and over and over again, and yet sometime we take and try to give him the crumbs. We use our time and fill our days with everything we want. And if we got a little minute or two left, we want to give it to God. And besides that, you want him to be satisfied. And besides that, you expect him to show up every time you call upon his name. Sometimes we just have to think about, let's just be fair. If you can't be excellent, we can't be perfect, but we could always try to be a little bit fairer. God allowed his son to die so that we could have a relationship with him. And y'all know how the song way back when said that they were looking for a 50-50 love. You know, they say some was 70-30, some was 40-60. But you have to ask yourself, if you are born again Christian and God is your heavenly father and you're his child, his son died to make a way for you to have a relationship with God. If you had to put your relationship on a measuring stick between you and God, you evaluate how the numbers are. You get to say if what numbers you coming up, if you're true to yourself, is it all right for you? God is a jealous God, and God has feelings as well. And we have to stop treating him as like he's somewhere just sitting down waiting for us to call for our emergencies to become his urgencies and expect him to answer our beck and call because we know he's such a good God. And that's a message from God from you all, because that's not a was a part of my program. But you take what you can and you discard the rest. And hopefully, you know, Bible study is to make you kind of think, to open up your mind, to evaluate and assess where you are with the God that you say is your Lord. So we're going to go ahead into the lesson. Esther, the 7th chapter, get your Bibles. I pray that you had a chance to read that in the 6th chapter, or the whole book of Esther, because it was only 10 chapters. And I just did a survey earlier when I decided to use the book of Esther. I read the whole 10 chapters. And really, you know, and I ain't the fastest reader in the world or anything like that, but it took like 45 minutes. So when we say we don't have time, and the first thing we have to realize that the time we have, God gave it anyway. Because if God decides not to give you breath, you won't have no time. Everything belongs to God. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and everything that dwell therein. We have to stop treating God like a stepchild. And, you know, that got to depend from you. That's an individual thing. Your relationship with God is not mine. But I'm just asking you tonight to evaluate yours. And you come out with what you're doing and how much time you're giving or how much you read and how much you study. Does it please God? And I want you to know, if you never read the Bible again in your life, God is still going to be God. If you never listen to what the Holy Ghost is trying to tell you that God would want from you to do, God is still going to be God. But God said, everything I want and all of my desires is for my children, even more than an earthly father. And that's love. That's pure, unadulterated love. God loves you more than you could even ever know. He said he loved you before you was in your mother's womb. He loved you before you was in your father's garments. He said nothing can separate you from my love. If all of us just decide to be fair. And I can't even say equal because we could never measure up. So, again, you know, I'm just being led and, you know, the words is almost like coming out of my mouth and God is using me as a vessel to say these things. And whoever it's for, I hope you take it. I'm going to try again to get in a lesson. We in the book of Esther, and I want you to know the book of Esther, the author of Esther is unknown. A lot of people believe that Mordecai was the writer. The book of Esther does not mention the name of God. I'm going to say that again. The book of Esther, the name of God, the word God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is not mentioned in the book of Esther. But I can tell you one thing, God's fingerprints, as we say, are all over it. You see, the coincidence and amazing things in a poetic way it is written, it's all love from God towards the Jews and Persians. And it shows his presence all over it. You see, we see God's master plan working out. We see that if God really is for you, who could be against you? You see, Esther was a Jewish girl and was taken from her familiar surroundings and she was cared for by her beloved uncle Mordecai. You see, Esther's parents had died, and Mordecai, her uncle, was taking care of her. And you see, at some point, she was placed in a palace to become one of the women who would be used, y'all follow me, to satisfy the sexual desires of a king. You see, King Ahasuerus enjoyed putting on public displays with his wealth and power. And he usually had feasts. And if y'all read it, I didn't put it in here, but I'm saying it now. He had feasts that last 180 days. And then he had a private feast for the private men. Come on now, the big timers. Where he asked his wife, who was the queen at that time, Vashti, to come out and prance in front of these men and these officials to show them her great beauty wearing her crown. But watch this. He wanted her to only wear the crown. But you see, Queen Vashti refused to put her nude body on public display. And so the king, who was not used to being denied anything, became enraged, dethroned her as queen, and banished her from the kingdom. Now, this is what I see. Here we see that God will make room for your purpose. Come on, y'all. You know how they got the boss that don't like you and don't know what to do, and you have to do everything and show them everything? Come on now, y'all. God can move people out of place. God will make room for your purpose and for his plan. So Queen Vashti is gone. So the little men come to the king, and they tell him, you know, what you need to do is get you, we need to get some virgins together and just prep them up for you, and then you could have your way, and whichever one you like, you could replace Vashti. You see, they got 400 virgins together, and they had them there, and they say, after the time of preparation, they took a full year, and they would bathe them and groom them and just teach them and teach them how to have poise to go before the king. It was a year preparation for that. And after that year preparation, each woman would have a time to spend a night with the king. You know, and then finally Esther time came, and she became, because of her humility and her acceptance of her position as a servant. See, Esther knew her place. She was a Jew, and she had never acknowledged that because her uncle told her not to say it. Remember, Jews were the ones that was in bondage. And I want you to know this time was happening during the captivity when the Jews was in captivity in Babylon. Put you right in the place. It's not some other time, way. It was during the captivity in Babylon. And another thing, you could look and peep in this and you could see. This was after the first people, Zerubbabel, went, the king, King Cyrus, and then King Darius gave the Jews permission to go back to Jerusalem and build a temple. This was after the first time that they went, because if you really check it out, the book of Esther happened between Ezra 6 and 7. But that's for you to go and research. But the king had allowed the Jews to go back, so it's evident that Mordecai and Esther didn't go back to Jerusalem when they allowed them to go back. Plenty of the Jews didn't go back, because they had positions and they was all right with being there, and they might have had threats, like when Katrina came and some people came back and some people didn't come back because they say, you know, they don't have the doctors there, and some people say the germs is too much there, you know, and some say this and some say that. We know when it was time and you could come back to New Orleans after Katrina. Some decided not to return. And so this is what was kind of happening. They had allowed the Jews to go back, but evidently, with me telling you where the time frame that this really happened, that the first set of Jews had went back, and evidently Mordecai and Esther didn't go back for whatever the reasons. So Esther got her time to go before the king, and evidently she pleased him. First of all, they say she was beautiful inside and out. And you got to remember that God was working in and through her. And the king replaced Queen Vashti with Esther. You see, almost as soon as Esther was confirmed as queen, the king had appointed his next right-hand man with him. And his name was Hanun. So if you saw in the book of Esther, you saw that Hanun was evil and he was hateful. And you got to see he hated the Jews. And you might say, and Hanun peeked out that Mordecai was a Jew before Mordecai or Esther divulged the information. But Mordecai was hated by Hanun. But let me tell you a little background. See, when you read and you study the Bible, he hated him. And you know the Babylonians didn't like the Jews because they had conquered them. Come on now, y'all. We know all of that. But, you know, the hatred was there. But I'm going to tell you, Hanun he was from the line of Hagar. A-G-A-G. Remember that was one of the worst kings before the Jews was captured by the Babylonians. And he was a terrible king, and I'm going to let you know who he was. His wife was Jezebel. And you know the stories of what they did. So see, Hanun probably as a little boy was taught against the Jews and how to hate the Jews. You see, racism, even in our world today, it don't just one day jump up. That's why so many of those little kids is growing up with so much hatred towards someone who haven't even done them anything. And you see, that's a part of Hannah's background. He was from the line of Hagar. And you know, Jezebel, the worst queen in the world. And they still use the saying, you're a Jezebel. When they say that, they're not talking about you. They're talking about the attributes that Jezebel displayed, how evil and hateful she was. And he hated the Israelites from way back. You see, Hanun manipulated and maneuvered until he was able to get in position of authority from which he would be able to destroy them. His main goal was to destroy the Jews, the whole entire nation that was in their land. And he wanted to inoculate them. He was going to really, it was going to be like a genocide. And that's what he planned to do. But first, he had to get Mordecai out the way. And so he started his plot. Some kind of way, Mordecai found out, and he went to enlist Esther's aid in correcting the situation. See, what Esther had to do, she had to take her life in her own hands and decide to intercede with the king on behalf of her beloved people, Israel, no matter the consequences to herself. You know, God is asking you, what are you willing to do? And he's not going to ask us to save a nation, and maybe he may use us to save a nation, but are you willing to take the task to even try to save the man next door? Are you willing to take the task on to save that person in your family that everybody has given up on? You know, I was told sometimes in the past that, you know, Sister Adams, I keep talking to my Uncle Joe and talking to my Uncle Joe. I'm tired. I know he ain't gonna never get it. But how you know? The lesson last, well, this was the seven sayings. I was gonna say the lesson I did last week. I did do it, but I did it at a church. I spoke at Mount Moriah, and the one was, today you'll be with me in paradise. That man was hanging on the cross with Jesus. So how can you say how late it was And let's just imagine if that man on the cross with Jesus' mother had became a Christian and was praying for her child, or his wife was praying for him, or his children was praying for him, and he didn't never seem like he could get it right. But you see, when he was on that cross on the left of Jesus Christ, just spending that time with Christ and hearing what everybody had to say about him, the Holy Ghost did his job and convicted his heart. Come on, y'all. And he asked Jesus to remember him in his kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You know, that scripture is used in the Bible for the scripture of salvation. I guess Jesus said that on the cross and used the two thieves for examples to let us know that the plan is simple. It's, you know, the man acknowledged Jesus. He believed that Jesus was Lord. And he confessed that he knew he was a sinner. That's the plan of salvation. It don't have nothing to do with baptism or circumcision. It's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So we're going to get into the scriptures tonight, and we're going to be in the seventh verse. We're going to come from the seventh verse, and we're going to read, the first verse all the way to the third verse. And the scripture reads as follows. So the king and Hannah came to a banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said unto Esther on the second day of the banquet of wines, what is thy position, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted unto thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of my kingdom. He's saying, look, whatever you want, baby, you got it. Just let me know. He said, even half of my kingdom you could have. Hallelujah. You see, when God is in the plan, no, God's name is not in the book of Esther, but you can see his fingerprints all over it. You got to remember whatever plan God got and whatever he wants to use you to fulfill the plan, going to develop that. And it's going to come to pass if he has to move people and places and things out of the way for his plan to be done. And that's how you do them with your life. You see, when you say God is working it out together for my good, do you really know what you're saying? Do you really believe it, and do you really trust it? Because that's your victory. And Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me. Save my life, dear God, and a life and my people at my request. I'm asking you to let me live and let my people live. Esther took chances and went before the king. You see, at that time, anyone that approached the king without being summoned was immediately put to death. When the king saw her, it pleased him. She set up a banquet with Hannah, the one that hated Mordecai, because he wouldn't bow down, and he hated the Jews as well. See, Hannah had got his position, and he had made an executive order like Trump is doing, that everyone would bow down to him, and Mordecai wouldn't bow down, so he hated him for that. He hated him because he was a Jew, and he hated him because he was taught to hate Jews. Hallelujah. You see, and he even got buy-in with this foolishness. He went to the king and told the king, let they have a bunch of people, and they're not bowing down, and they don't mean the king no good. Let me just get rid of them. He said, but let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you so much money. I think that was in 6th chapter, if you read it, if you're not lost. I'm going to give you so much money and put it in the king's treasure for whoever carries out the business of destroying the Jews. You see, Esther enlisted Mordecai at this point. She realized she saw the problem. She understood what part she needed to play in it. And she accepted the challenge. That's how we have to do with things in our lives. Every time God could be sending something that he wants you to do, you ignore it. You turn your back. You don't even take time and say, God, this is something you want me to do for this. And y'all could do it, you know, we could do it like we want. But I'm going to tell you this, and I know it to be true. If you take care of God's business, God's going to take care of yours. Ain't no doubt about it. God said he would never let you do a good deed and let it go unrewarded. Hallelujah. So what happened? So Esther said, okay, I'm going to do it. She said, but Mordecai, this is what I need you to do. Get all the Israelites together and let them fast 3 days. And just like I told you, God's name is not, you know, in this book of Esther. But she told them, let them fast for 4 days. You know, she didn't say fast and pray and kneel and talk and walk. She said, let them fast for 4 days, for 3 days. And, you know, when you fast, it was, you know, even though God's name is not there, she was fasting and had the people fasting for God's favor and protection in this dangerous course on which she was about to enter. And she even stood up and said, if I perish, I perish. You see, let me tell you this. Esther is a lesson in God's sovereignty over his creation. What am I saying? Esther is a lesson. It has the way that show that God has all power and he has a master plan and he's working it out. Everything in creation. You see, God maneuvers every aspect of life to position people, governments, situations for his plan and purpose. Get it? Government, situations, people, everything. You know, the 2 weeks we've been, I think I said it 2 weeks in the book of Psalms, they say the heart of a king is in God's hand. They didn't just say righteous kings. They didn't say just good kings, but the heart of a king is in God's hand, and he moves it as he pleases. Remember that. The government is in God's hand, and he moves it as he wanted. And it may not seem like he's moving fast enough or so much is going on, but you got to remember he's still in control. We may never know what God is doing. Come on, y'all. But at a time, we might come to realize why he have done certain things in our lives. Come on, y'all. Why we had so certain life experiences. You know, I know plenty of my life experience helped me to be where I'm at today. I don't know about you. Or why he allowed you to meet certain people. Or live in a certain area. Or even shop in a certain store. Or why he allowed you to take certain trips. You see, the time may come when everything comes together. And we look back and see that we too were put in that moment of time just as Esther. She was put in a harem. That's the women who go to satisfy the king's sexual desires. She was put into a harem for such a time as this. She was given to a king for such a time as this. She was strengthened and prepared to intercede for her people for such a time as this. I want you to know tonight that Esther is truly a reminder of God's promise that is written in Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. That's what we're talking about. You see, Esther had a purpose to do this. She didn't understand it, but she accepted the call. Hallelujah. Those who are the called according to his purpose. She accepted the call that included the purpose. And if God be for us, who could be against us? And right now I'm going to read the fourth verse And I'm going to read all the way down to the 8th verse. And the scripture reads, this is Esther talking. She said, for we are sold, I and my people. And you see, before now the king didn't know that Esther was a Jew, but she, you know, she's trying to save the Jews. She called them my people, so that lets you know she was a Jew. Go on now. She said, for we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. She said, but if we had been sold for bondsmen and bondswoman, I would have held my tongue. She said, if they just was going to treat us like slaves, which we are, it's all right. But no, they want to slain and they want to destroy. She said, if it wasn't for that, I understand how it goes. I know we in captivity. She said, I would have held my tongue. She said, although the enemy would not countervail king's damages. What they saying right there is, she's saying, yeah, he offered you 1,000 pieces of silver in your treasure to take care of the expenses of getting all of the Jews killed. She said, but she was telling him, and let's look at it for a little while. First of all, if you kill all of those people, you're killing all your labor. She's saying there's really a lot of people that, you know, it's showing honor to you. There are people that have skills in doing good things towards you. If it's taxes that they have to pay, they are paying them to you. So what you're going to lose by doing all of this in money and what he offered you, it's not going to even add up. And that's what she told him. Come on now, y'all. You see, then the king, Ahasuerus, answered and said unto Esther, who is he? And where is he that thus presume in his heart to do such a thing? The king said, well, who got all this hatred going on? And who planned to do this, Esther? And Esther went, you know, told the king, Hanan. She said, and Esther said, the adversary, the enemy, is the wicked Hanan. Then Hanan was so afraid before the king and the queen, and the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, and he went into the garden. Now the kingdom got so mad, he can't contain himself. So he leaves the banquet with him, Esther, and Hanan, and he go in the garden. And Hanan stood up to make a request for his life to Esther, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. You see, Esther now tells the king the plot that Hanan had to kill him. And before I say that, let me back up. Well, I'll say it after anyway. She revealed her nationality. She was a Jew. She let the king now know the silver that he was giving her wasn't going to be enough. And Esther had got great favor from the king and had previously asked for her. He asked her what she wanted before. What was your petition? Even to be willing to give her half of his kingdom. This angered the king greatly that someone in his authority, someone he had authority over and was doing things with authority for the king, felt that bad about a whole race. The king was displeased, to say the least. He took a walk in the garden, and I could imagine what Hanan must have felt, and he began to beg for his life to ask Esther. Now, verses 8 through 10 reads as follows. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet, where the banquet was. He returned to him, and Hanan had fallen upon the bed where Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in my house? You know how a man feel. He feel disrespected. And it probably wasn't Haman's, you know, he wasn't trying to rape her or take her at that time, but it was the appearance. You know, the Bible said we should turn away from the appearance of something that may be wrong. You know, there's certain things I could do in my life. The Bible doesn't say it's a sin. The Bible ain't worried about it, and I'm not doing it in a gluttony way, and so on and so on and so on. But I know if it's going to stumble the next person, or the appearance of it can lead to other thoughts, the Bible says shun away from it. You see, and as the words went out of the king's mouth, they covered Hannah's head. And Heberbosch, one of the chamberlains, said unto the king, behold, also the galley fifty cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who spoke good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. What he said? He said, man, you know, the kingdom put the bag over his head, the king ready to get rid of him. So one of his chamberlains said, look, man, there's a galley over at Haman's house that he built for to hang Mordecai on. You know, we ain't even got to build none. Let's just weigh with him on what he built. Watch that. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the galley that he had prepared for Mordecai. And then the king's wrath was pacified. We have to see God's hand in all of the things he's doing. If you read the other chapter, you saw that sometime, and I don't know if it was a week, a month, 2 years, 3 years, there was a plot against this king. Mordecai had got the information, and he warned the king that someone was going to take his life. And with him warning the king about it, the king was very happy. But after he did it, you know, the king was the big man and he was a servant. The king ain't thought no more of it. But watch God. I think it may be in the first chapter. One night the king was sleeping or couldn't go to sleep. And he had his people come in to read for him. He said, go get the book of Chronicles. Hallelujah. He said, go get the Chronicles. He said, and read to him. But it was, you know, and they began to read. And they read that they had a plot against him, and these two people was going to kill him. And Mordecai gave him the information, and he was able to stop the plot, and the king was happy. So after the king heard him read this, now watch this. He asked the people. He said, Mordecai did this. He said, I never did anything for him. They said, no. So the king, you know that ain't nothing but God touched that man's heart. And like I say, I don't know the time frame. I don't know if it was a month ago, 2 years ago. But he had did it. And God said, no good thing you do will be unrewarded. I don't know when your reward is going to come. Hallelujah. But God will use it in for a time like this. Come on, y'all. You know how sometimes I tell you, you know, that's the blessing you received the day from the seed you planted last year. But if you're not planting those seeds, you're not going to have a harvest. Or if you plant a little seeds, you should only look for a little harvest. So Mordecai had did this for the king some time ago, but now the king, the book of Esther opened up with the king, you know, having that read to him and decide to do something for the man that did something for him that happened to be Esther's uncle. Hallelujah. That happened to be a slave under bondage in Babylon. that just happened not to have left with the first crew in Jerusalem. See, he couldn't go to Jerusalem to help build a tent. So some people probably criticized him. But you see, God needed him in Babylon for a time like this. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. So after that, the king went to Hanan, his right-hand man, and asked him, what should I do for somebody that done did something so good for me? He didn't say the name. So Hanan said, well, you take a robe that you done wore, and you take a horse that you rode on, and you take a ring and place it on his finger, and you take a crown and put it on his head, and you let him parade him all through the providence and let everybody give honor to him. Because, you see, Hanan thought that the king was talking about him. So after he told the king that, the king said, well, that sounds good to me. Let's do it. Hallelujah. And so after the king agreed to do it, Hanan probably stuck his chest out as wide as it could go out. And the king said, I'm talking about Mordecai. So Hanan had to take him out and put him on a horse and put the robe and put the ring and put the crown on his head. And Hanan had to prance him all around for everybody to give him honor. So Hanan was hating him even more. Hallelujah. But you see, when the king told him to hang him on the platform that he had built for Mordecai. You know, there's a quote that Mahalia Jackson wrote many, 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 many years ago, and it said, if you dig one ditch, you better dig two, because the trap you set just may be for you. You know, we always say that if you dig one ditch, dig two. But the Bible in Proverbs 28, 26, and 27 say, whoever dig a pit will fall into it, and if someone roll a stone, it'll turn around and roll back on you. So you have to be careful what you want to do to people. See, they got plenty of people do any treat people any kind of way and don't feel they're not going to get it. The Bible says God is not mocked. So as a man sow it, he's going to also reap. You see, when the king returned from the garden, Hanan was so overwhelmed with grief that he fell on the bed where Esther was. And the king thought he was trying to force himself on her. And before the king could stop talking, they covered Hannah's head. The suggestion was made that Hanan had built a galley to hang Mordecai. And the king ordered him to be hanged. They said, look what's happening now. Hanan had evil in his heart. And if you read the rest of Esther before the king, Esther by then knew that God had worked it out. And she knew God was in a plan. And she knew God had touched the king's heart. So besides asking for this to be done, she also told him, you know, our people are like slaves and we can't defend ourselves. And we are taken advantage of many times over and over. She asked the king to make another decree that the Israelites, the Jews, could defend themselves. And the king did issue it, and if you read it in the Bible, people start coming up against them and warring against them. But God was with them. And if God be for you, who could be against you? And they began, come on, y'all, to win all of their enemies. They began to stand up tall. You know, they start feeling, even though they was in bondage, victory with Christ. Well, victory with God and the promise of Christ. Hallelujah. This go to show you tonight, y'all, that God has a plan. And God moves on his own time. But God is in the middle of everything that could ever happen to you. And he's working it out. some of the battles ain't yours. And you have to be satisfied with God's time. And that's the other thing. Because you see, sometimes you think he's not moving fast enough. Or he moved fast and you think it should be slow because you ain't ready to change what you're doing. Come on, y'all. Esther heard the call. She accepted the call. She went and fast for the cause. But she was willing to give up her life for the cause. And God used her in a mighty way. It just so happened best for this time. That probably wasn't the first time they asked a queen to do that, I'm sure. But she refused because, you see, she had to be out of the way for Esther to come in our place. That's why they say God will make room for your gifts. And he would open doors for your purpose. Not just for Esther, but for you as well. Can you trust him? Can you believe him? It's a question that I could ask tonight. And no matter what the devil set up for the bad, we see tonight how God turned it all around for the good. Melita became the second in charge in the city of Babylon, where the Israelites had been in bondage for 70 years. He became next in charge, just like Joseph, with God having his hand on him, and he was in Egypt. Come on, y'all know. And he became second to the king, even though the Israelites were in bondage all the time, but no matter where they was able to operate and succeed. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look at Daniel. Come on, y'all. It was all day under bondage. But if God be for you, who can be against you? And it is now 9:28. Our lesson for tonight has gone forward. And at this time, if anyone would like to make any comments, if anyone would like to pray, if anyone would like to do a benediction, if anyone would like to do anything, you can press the one button on your phone, and I will open the mics. One of our callers is in the hospital tonight. Her name is Sister Pauline Scott. Pauline is on the air with you guys every Wednesday night. She started a long time ago, and she's never stopped. But she's in the hospital tonight, and she's doing really good. She's doing fine, and they just running tests. And if it's God's will, she may be released tomorrow. But I'm asking that y'all pray for Sister Pauline Scott, because she's one of the members of our Wednesday night Bible study. If y'all know anybody else need prayer, you could press the one button and we'll open it up and say their name so you could call it by name. Anybody would like to pray? Any comments? Words of encouragement? Oh, I need to tell you guys, I won't be on the air next week because me and my grandson Madison is going on a cruise. I won't be on the air Wednesday, but I'll be back on the Wednesday after that. And as we are going through the Bible, you know, we just did Esther. So I'm asking that. And it would have been a good thing when we started, we went through the book of Bibles. If y'all start remembering one book a week, y'all would know all of the books leading up to here. But we have done so far Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. The next book is Job. So I think that's 17 books we have done. And you know, there's 39 books in the Bible. And, you know, we have done, I think, 17 books. And that's really a blessing from God. I pray that when you look at the Old Testament and you flip through them pages, you, if you stop on one of them, you can say, yeah, I know a little bit about that, and I know a little bit about that. You see, it's being able to get information, and what information that you have received, if you done took it in, the Holy Ghost is going to bring it out when it's necessary for a time like that. But that's our lesson for tonight. If no one has anything to say, if no one would like to do anything, it's 9:30. We're going to go ahead and I'm going to do a closing prayer with a benediction. And if the Lord say the same, not next week, but the week after that, we will be in the book of Job. So since you're going to have a week off, you could just start reading different things about Job. Of course, I don't have what book I'm going to come out with. And if I figure it out before I go on Monday, I could post what you have to read, and you could have that week to read it, and, you know, so many days in the next week. So it looked like I should have give y'all a whole bunch of books in the book, a whole bunch of chapters in the book of Job. But I'll try to decide and let you guys know. So if that's it for tonight, I'm going to go ahead and do the benediction prayer, and we'll say goodnight for tonight. But I'm asking that you please continue and start praying for Pauline Scott. She's one of our Wednesday night Bible study sisters. All right. So that's it for tonight. So let me go out with a prayer and a benediction. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, I just want to thank you for allowing us to come together one more time. God, I want to thank you for your mercy, and I want to thank you for your grace, and I want to thank you for the wonderful way you orchestrated the word of God, the book of Esther, when you inspired those men to write it, that we could see how you clearly operate in the lives of your people. Lord, all I could do is say thank you. Lord, I pray that the people open their ears and not just be hearers of the word, but become doers. I pray that, God, that each and every one be strengthened by your word. And I believe, because I came on with the spirit of expectancy, that the Holy Ghost would not allow the word to return void. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives, what you did and what you promised to do. Lord, I thank you. Lord, all I could do is thank you. If I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you no more. I thank you for allowing me to be able to share the word of God, because you say that's our commission. That's our job, to share the word of God each and every time we get an opportunity. I realize that this is an opportunity for me, God, by you, to be able to share with your people and to give them a platform where they could share as well. Lord, I thank you. I praise your holy name. Keep all of us, dear God, in your divine protection. Let none of us fall short of the glory of God. We gonna fall short of God's glory, but let none of us fall short of the glory of God towards us. Lord, I am thankful. I am grateful. And I'm asking that you look down a moment, Miss Pauline, dear God. Strengthen her where she may be weak. Touch her, dear God, right now. Let her feel your presence. We're going to believe the report of the Lord, and we're going to go on in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others I ask in your darling son Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. And if anyone would like to say anything, this is your last chance for tonight. So I'll be back, not Wednesday, next Wednesday, it's the 22nd. It must be going to be May the 3rd, because I leave on the 24th and I come back on the 29th. Pray for me and my grandson, that God give us traveling grace and that we enjoy ourselves one with another. All of this in Jesus' name. And let the church say amen. And I'll leave you with these words. It is my desire that you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Be blessed. God loves you, and so do I. Good night.